got a pleasant surprise for everybody because we were not expecting to get to speak with State Senator Perry Dozier today. But lo and behold, Senator, we appreciate you. Well, maybe we should appreciate that the Senate has taken a break to allow you to join us today.
Yeah, it was kind of unexpected. I knew I was hoping to be able to get on with you guys, and they took a quick break here for caucus. The Democrats did, and Republicans didn't need to go to caucus. We're ready for them. So I thought, boy, I'm going to try to get on if I could and let you guys throw some questions at me.
Well, let's do it. So one of the things we were talking about last segment was the whole capital gains issue that we know how it passed by one vote in the Senate with the, the emergency clause issue built into the construct of that one vote to make sure that it passes. The House goes against that. Now it has to be concurred with the Senate. Now it's back in your chamber, and we understand that it's going to be that a conference committee has been set up to see if anything can be worked out.
That's correct. Yes. What happened was they took the actually on the Senate side, we were able to get an amendment to get rid of the emergency clause on it. That's why we got that one vote margin that we needed. And I think right now what the House is doing is trying to get the emergency clause back on, which is not what we want. So yes, it's going to be conference. We're going to see what's going to happen here. Obviously, we need to let the people have a say in this like they have had 10 times in the past. The emergency clause will take the voice away from the people, won't let there be a referendum on it.
Now, just maybe if you can take us behind closed doors, so to speak, and into the weeds of the legislative process. We know that the regular session is supposed to end this weekend, and we still need to pass an operating budget. What does this do to the timeline of finishing the session this weekend, this capital gains tax issue?
This actually plays into a lot of other bills too. The matter of fact, one that just got passed right now, just right before we came on, Senate Bill 5237, Child Care and Early Development. Basically what that is, it's taking revenues. When you look at the foundation of that bill, it's to help with child care and early development, but it's extremely costly at about $1 billion a year. And of that, a lot of those funds would come from the capital gains tax if passed. That's why when they talk about the importance of the capital gains, you'll hear how it's going to go to, for instance, schools and child care and everything. Well, what the thoughts are that this capital gains will generate around $500 million per year. And obviously, it's a very volatile tax. If it's based off of capital gains, when the market's good, no one's going to be selling anyway. If the market, or at least not if they're going to get taxed at above the $250,000, they're going to be cautious with it. If the market declines, then I shouldn't say no one would sell. They probably would sell, but it would be still a cautious sale. But if the market declines, like we know it's going to happen at some time, and if you're banking on this much revenue to fund a program that just got passed, where are you going to backfill those dollars lost? Trying to rely on this one tax is really bad moving forward. As you say, we're getting down to Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We have a lot of bills out there three big ones out there. We got the operating budget, we got transportation, and those are two big, huge budgets out there that we're looking at, and we got to try to get that done. Some of these other bills are reliant, or those two budgets are reliant upon these other bills like cap and tax, and also what's coming up. We don't know if this is going to happen when I get off of this phone call, is low carbon fuel standards. That's hanging out there. I don't know if when we go back here in a few minutes, if they went to a caucus that the Democrats did, maybe this is the next one that's going to pop up. I don't know.
Well, getting back to the capital gains tax, I guess the question is, since we don't know, we haven't seen what is in the Democrats' operating budget proposal. I don't believe that that's been made public yet. But the talk that you referenced is that some of that money is earmarked for K-12 education. We know about the McCleary decision and the paramount duty to fund K-12 education. If a compromise cannot be reached in your chamber in the Senate on that capital gains tax, is it dead, or can it potentially carry into a special session because the revenue from it is linked to items that are in the operating budget?
We have heard that special session pop up the last couple of days, potentially, in finishing up the rest of this year, whether it's tied to transportation or whether it's tied to some of the operating budget, trying to get this through. Yes, we have heard that. There is a I don't know if it's going to happen or not, but that's very true.
So I guess the capital gains tax issue isn't necessarily dead because we don't know what's going to come out of that conference committee, right?
It is not. No, you're absolutely right. It is not dead. So we will see what comes out of it. And I think the big thing, even if it goes through, they aren't looking at getting any revenue from it for 2 years from now. If the emergency clause does not hang on it, then we know there's a possibility for a referendum vote to come on, which would be the best thing that we could have happen if it goes through and does pass. So that is kind of, I think, the best thing that could happen. So we've got to see if we can go there. If there is that emergency clause on it, if we can hold the votes, hopefully, we can keep that from happening out of the Senate.
Some high drama in Olympia over this one capital gains tax. Now, you mentioned some of the other things. Certainly the low carbon fuel standard is on everybody's radar. Most likely would do to already very high gas prices in the state of Washington. The transportation budget is not something that really people are focusing on, at least from the public standpoint, but that's out there too. I mean, everybody's talking about the operating budget, certainly the capital gains tax. The low carbon fuel standard is linked to the transportation budget, but just the regular transportation budget is not getting a whole lot of play right now, is it?
It's really strange. It isn't, because it's the Democratic proposal is a $16 billion tax increase over the next, I think it is 15 years or 16 years. I forget what it is exactly, but it's going to have a combination of 33 increases, from tax increases to fee increases, 33 of them to help pay for the $16 billion increase. It is a monster out there, and tied to it is revenue streams from the cap and tax and also from low carbon fuel standards. I shouldn't say low carbon fuel standards, because that revenue does not get dedicated to the transportation. That's correct. But the cap and tax does. So that's one of the things there, you know, that's looming out there also. So there are a lot of moving parts in the next 3 days for all of the pieces of the puzzle to come together to make the picture. And whether it can happen, it's been really kind of strange. We haven't had a late night now in the last two, three nights. and from the Senate side. And we know that probably tomorrow, Saturday, and we'll see what happens Sunday, what's going to happen. I mean, we're just kind of waiting for that ball to drop, kind of like the crystal ball in Times Square.
Well, you might have just jinxed it by saying that you haven't had a late night yet. I hope that's not the case. But we're talking with Senator Perry Dozier of the 16th Legislative District here on the Bottom Line News Radio 610 KONA. One more question before we let you go. And we really appreciate you carving out some time in your mm-hmm. very limited downtime between sessions on the floor. What should not only your constituents in the 16th, but all of our listeners in Washington State be mindful of as we come into the home stretch today, tomorrow, the weekend? What's going to be the thing that they should keep their eye on the closest?
I think a lot of it, you know, my big concern is I think that we're going to really get hit with would be what happens with this transportation, because there's so many increases in that, from additional gas tax on it to all the other fee increases, from doubling the cost of your driver's license to gross weight fees to, I mean, there's just a whole bunch of multiple small pocketbook hits that we are going to be feeling a lot. So, you know, when you look at capital gains, that's going to hit. Right now, there are exemptions in there, like for agriculture, farm ground, and some of, I think, homes and a few other things right now in this. I kind of thought that this capital gains was kind of a starter income tax that's going to hit us harder later. But that effect right now, the way the capital gains is going to be for those mainly investments where you get more than $250,000. My concern is the ones that are going to hit what I would say the middle class, the working people. And that's going to be like low carbon fuel, raising the price of gas and cap and tax, and what it's going to do to the businesses that we have within this state that may be looking at ways to get out of this state and do business elsewhere. That's going to hurt. Those are the big ones that I'm getting concerned with also.
Senator Perry Dozier of the 16th Legislative District, really appreciate the time, and we'll let you get back and take care of some more of the people's business as soon as you are able to.
Yeah, very good. Thank you much, and I sure hope we can wrap this up here in the next 3 days, and I can get back over the top of the hill and enjoy Eastern Washington.